Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name's Greg Knapp. I'm filling in for Dr. Savage on The Savage Nation. We got to talk about what happened in Overland Park, Kansas. It's right near my home. I'm going to get you the details of the killings and the idea of charging the man with hate crimes. We'll get into that, talk about the victims, talk about all the details on it. And it kind of ties right into this whole thing of President Obama, Nancy Pelosi, and others trying to paint the Republican Party as racist. We got some audio on that from over the weekend. And we've got a great story about how thinking about death actually improves your life. All of that, Sebelius has one last glitch, and a new way to take your Viagra. It's all this hour on The Savage Nation. My name is Greg Knapp, filling in for the doctor. You can join in at 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. You can also go online to michaelsavage.com and check out all the stories that are up there as well. So let me tell you, this is a story that obviously is a big one. It went international in a very short period of time. And now we're already being told that the federal government is going to pursue hate crimes charges against a 73-year-old man who shot and killed three people yesterday afternoon at the Jewish Community Center in Overland Park, Kansas. This is a suburb of Kansas City. It's where I live. I live 6 miles away from where this happened. That's when it really starts to hit home to you, when these things happen right in your neighborhood. My daughter was at her youth group at church last night, and the pastor came in and told them what was going on. He knew the young man who had been killed. The guy that did the killings, the 73-year-old man, has a history of extreme racism, anti-Semitism. It's crazy. Well, that brings up the question, is he crazy or is he just evil? This is a guy who chose to be this kind of man, this racist, this anti-Semite for decades. He was a so-called Grand Dragon in the KKK in the Carolina chapter. He started something he called the White Supremacist Militia. He served time in federal prison for 3 years for mail threats against the federal government and federal agents. We can get in more details about him in a little bit. But see, this is a guy who chose evil. You know, when these kind of things happen, we like to try to figure it out, don't we? How could this happen? Why did this happen? How can we put it in a little compartment or box so that we understand it to some degree? Not explain it, not justify, but maybe say, well, that's why this happened. And then push it aside and go about our day, because if we stop down every time something heinous and evil and tragic and horrific happened, we couldn't get about our day. When you think about 45 murders on average every day in the United States of America, can you stop and weep for all of those every day and still exist, still live your life? You watch the TV and see the ads of the starving children in Africa. Of course it hurts your heart. Can you stop down and cry for every child who's starving in Africa every day? For every child that's suffering here in America every day? For every innocent victim killed in war around the globe every day? For every innocent person killed in an accident, a car accident, a bus accident around the world and around our country every day? You can't do it. So we start to say, well, this is common, so I'm not going to think about it as much. And then something uncommon comes up. And it hits you hard. And you think, well, what does this mean? what does it mean for my family? What is it? I have a 14-year-old daughter who's a freshman in high school right now. One of the three victims of this killer yesterday afternoon was a 14-year-old freshman at a high school. By all accounts, an outstanding young man. Eagle Scout at the age of 14. He's in the debate team, theater, choir. The reason he was at the Jewish Community Center was trying out for this thing called KC Star. It's basically American Idol for Kansas City. And the winner gets a $10,000 scholarship to go to college. That's why he was there with his grandfather. Dead. Just like that. His grandfather took him there. Grandfather was a doctor. Had helped save lives and heal people for decades in Oklahoma. Moved up to Kansas City with his wife to be near their grandchildren. Just a few years ago. Dead like that. Because this man chose to be evil. This is what he chose to do. You know, there are people that say, well, you know, this must be God's will. This young man and his family went to a church here in the Kansas City area called Church of the Resurrection. It's the biggest Methodist church in the nation, about 10,000 members, 13,000 members, something like that. I can't keep up. And their pastor last night at Palm Sunday services said, no, this is not God's will, and I agree with him. So this is what some people, I think, misconstrue about at least the Christianity version of God. Now, I'm a Christian. Is that God gives you free will, and you choose whether you follow or not. And if God steps in and stops every choice you make, then it's not really free will. So if this man wants to choose to be evil, then there are going to be consequences to those choices. And it takes good men to stop them. So if you're not familiar with exactly what happened, this man, this 73-year-old Fraser Glenn Cross, or Fraser Glenn Miller, he has both names that he goes by, of Aurora, Missouri, now, that's about 3.5 miles southeast of Kansas City proper, showed up at the Jewish Community Center yesterday afternoon with a shotgun and a handgun. He unloaded with a shotgun on the 14-year-old young man and his grandfather. Shot him in their car. Then he went across the street to the Village Shalom, which was the assisted living facility there, and killed another woman. We're just learning more about her today. They had been holding off on her, I think it was, until they could tell the family. Her name is Terry Lamano, 53. Reed Underwood was the 14-year-old. His grandfather, William Lewis Corporan. Those three lives taken in an instant by Fraser Glenn Cross, 73. Now here's the thing, the guy then goes a mile away to an elementary school with his car and sits in the parking lot. And thankfully, because so many people had called in their eyewitness accounts of the shootings, they were able to track him very quickly and arrest him in that parking lot. Why he stopped after shooting five, he shot five, three died, we don't know. We don't know a lot about that yet. Why he didn't resist the police to the point that he tried to shoot at them, why he didn't shoot himself and kill himself, as many of these people do once they've done these mass shootings, we don't know. But those are the quick facts of what happened, and it just brings up so many questions. And it smacks you in the face of, do you have any empathy left? Are these becoming too common for you to even spend much time thinking about anymore? And sometimes when our answer is, it's hard for me to spend much time on that anymore, that should wake us up. I mean, we can't be broken to the point that we can't function in society, but we better pay attention to it. And now come all of the different angles from the story and the way that some people are going to try to spin this story. I'm waiting for MSNBC to tell you this guy's just like a Tea Partier. I mean, remember, this is already how they paint Tea Partiers. Racist. White supremacist. Gun crazy. That's what the Tea Party is, according to these far lefties. Get ready. Get ready for MSNBC tonight to go off on that. I hope they're not that stupid, but this is the knee-jerk reaction you get from people on the far left. I'm sure they're going to go after the guns again, but wait a second. This was a shotgun. This was Joe Biden's favorite weapon. This is the weapon he tells you to go get. How do you handle that? He told his wife to go out on the balcony and shoot off the shotgun to scare people away if they're coming up to the door. Which, of course, is illegal and not really very smart, but okay, it's Joe Biden, you know. But it's a shotgun, not a so-called assault weapon. He had a handgun, too. Well, here's the dirty little secret that really everybody should know, and even the gun control nuts know. Only about 3.8% of murders in the United States of America are done by any type of rifle or long gun. And shotgun is the preferred long gun for murder. Then there's regular rifles, and then there's the so-called assault weapons, which are really just semi-automatic rifles. No more powerful than any other hunting rifle. But that doesn't stop the gun control nutsos from trying to tell you that if you just ban that, everything will be okay. It doesn't make any sense. So do you go after the gun? Well, then you better be ready for a shotgun ban. And then we get to the hate crime part of this. Because that's what they're going to do. They're going to charge him with a hate crime, which seems pretty obvious. I mean, here's the Overland Park Police Chief, John Douglas. Let's hear cut four from the chief.
The crime we're investigating is a criminal act. We haven't ruled out anything. I don't want to say the terrorism word, but, you know, this is, again, three hours into it.
That was yesterday, and now today already, you've got Barry Grissom, U.S. Attorney for Kansas, saying, yes, we're going to prosecute this as a hate crime. He was asked whether others were involved. They said, we're investigating this, focusing on Cross. So, yeah, they're investigating this as a hate crime. This guy said Heil Hitler after he was caught. It sure looks like it was a hate crime, but here's the thing. I'm not big on the whole hate crime status, because to me, obviously, if you're murdering somebody, it's not a love crime. And I think you punish the crime, not the thought process that goes on inside. And I don't care what kind of hate crime that is. If it was black on white because they hate white people, if it was white on black, if it was religion on religion, whatever it is. Here's the thing. Does it make any difference? Kansas has the death penalty. Federal government can use the death penalty. Is there anything more you can do than that? Already charged with three counts of first-degree murder? Premeditated? Why do you really need that? And look at how quickly. Here's the other thing. Let's be consistent with it. Here we have, within one day, hate crime charges now on this man. Do you remember the first Fort Hood killings by Major Nidal Hassan, when he is radicalized online by an imam, goes in shouting Allahu Akbar, no hate crime charges, and they didn't even call it terrorism. Federal government is still calling it workplace violence. Now you tell me if that's consistent. My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. I want to talk about the victims here.
There were three fatalities. There were two individuals who were shot at, one extremely close and one was not hit. So we have a total of five people who were shot at. We have the back doors of the community center, which has sustained substantial damage. We're not certain if that was bullets but went past the original victims or whether it was deliberately and intentionally created.
That's Overland Park Police Chief John Douglas, just outside of Kansas City, where this horrific shooting and killing happened yesterday afternoon at the Jewish Community Center on the eve of Passover and on Palm Sunday, Holy Week for the Christians, Holy Week for the Jews, and the 73-year-old, longtime racist anti-Semite, KKK, so-called Grand Dragon, white supremacist, a guy who turned evidence on some people when he got caught by the Fed, served 3 years, somehow still had a gun as a convicted felon, shotgun, came in and killed three. Ironically, two of them were Methodist, one was Catholic. didn't get a single Jew. I hope that hurts him. I hope that bothers him. And I hope he rots in prison until he gets the death penalty. But, you know, get ready for people. They're going to paint this. See, he was one of those crazy conservatives. See, this is why we have to worry. That's why we say these conservatives are possible terrorists. I mean, this guy was a Vietnam veteran. This guy was against illegal immigration. See, this guy, if you read his writings, Heil Hitler, this guy was not a conservative at all. We know that that's not conservatism. He was close to a fascist, especially loving Hitler. That's far left. That's as far left as you can go with the government controlling everything. But see, they want to paint this guy as a conservative to try to paint you as some kind of racist, homicidal maniac. No, don't let him do it. This guy chose to be evil. He has nothing to do with conservatism, which is looking at the founding documents and saying, hey, that's what America is supposed to be about, individual freedom, individual responsibility, a small, limited federal government. Has nothing to do with any of the things that MSNBC tries to say you are if you're a conservative. Let me get Mike in WABC. Mike, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Sorry, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just going to point something out very quickly. I listen quite often. I have never called before, but I am Jewish by blood and Catholic by faith. If you can understand that.
Sure, go right ahead.
Okay. This man, with intent, went out to harm people that were of the Jewish faith. He should be charged with a hate crime, and he should be charged to the maximum extent that local or federal law will allow. Now, I don't know...
Well, we're almost out of time. Thanks for the call. Here's my thing. The fullest extent of the law is the death penalty, and he gets it whether it's a hate crime or not. Why do we have this hate crime extra? I'm going to get into it more in just a second. My name's Greg Knapp, in for the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation. You can jump in at 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. And I was talking about this shooting at the Overland Park Jewish Community Center. That's right outside of Kansas City. I live about 6 miles away from it, so it's huge here. Been talking about it all day, reading about it all night, and you're learning a lot about the man who is being accused of doing all this, and it looks pretty obvious that he was the guy who did it. 73 years old, longtime racist, longtime anti-Semite. He ran for office twice here in Missouri, a write-in candidate both times. Got no more than a handful of votes. In fact, had anti-Semitic advertisements running on radio stations because under the First Amendment, the radio stations had to run them. They appealed to the FEC and the FCC and said, wait a second, look, this guy's making us put anti-Semitic advertisements on the radio. Does he have a right to do that? And they said, well, he's not a bona fide candidate, so you don't have to run him. So they were able to take him down. He's also a guy that was put in prison for 3 years in 87, according to USA Today. Subject of a nationwide manhunt, violated a court order prohibiting him from operating a paramilitary organization. He and three others arrested in 87 during a federal raid on a trailer. They found guns, thousands of rounds of ammunition, grenades, crossbows, police scanning radios, about 15 grand in cash, 20 pipe bombs, and a point system that he had created for killing minorities and government officials. Judges would help you win the most points. He planned on executing them with a variety of weapons, including the crossbows. You're wondering, well, why does the guy got a crossbow? He's got pipe bombs and firearms. Why need a crossbow? I guess he felt like that was more sporting. I don't know. So he pleaded guilty to a federal charge of mailing threatening communications and possessing automatic weapons. Served 3 years in prison. And, oh, that law keeping guns out of the hands of convicted felons worked. Woo, yeah, that worked great. In 2002 is when he moved to Aurora and started distributing copies of his own racist flyers, The Aryan Alternative. This is the kind of stuff he wrote. The Springfield News Leader published a letter from him in 05. This is where he was ticked at Bush. The fact is, folks, Bush and his Zionist Jew bosses not only want more tens of millions of illegal aliens to flood into our country, they do everything they can to encourage it. Why? To drown the white race in a sea of color, that's why. The Zionist Jews and their Gentile prostitute government managers want to create a one-world government inside a world populated overwhelmingly by mixed racial, therefore leaderless and easily controlled zombie slaves. I can't believe that they even put this in the paper. I mean, I'm going to run that. It was a letter to the editor. If you call the radio show and start talking like that, I hang up on you. They put it out there. Well, Greg, see, he was against illegal immigration. You're against illegal immigration. Therefore, you're just like him. Get ready for that, too. Okay, wait a second. Hitler was a vegetarian. So all you vegetarians, you're just like Hitler. Come on. There are legitimate reasons to be against illegal immigration. And then there's this guy's reasons to be against illegal immigration. And those two are not the same. The last caller said, Greg, this was a hate crime. He came to this facility targeting people of a certain faith. Yeah, I agree. It sure looks like that. My point is, do we really need to have separate hate crimes? Is this any worse than what happened in Sandy Hook? In fact, you could say what happened to Sandy Hook is worse because he killed more people. That wasn't a hate crime, right? He just wanted to kill people. Well, so that wasn't as bad? Does that make any sense to you? Heinous murder is heinous murder, regardless of the reason. Whether it's because you want my money, whether it's because you just feel like killing people, whether it's because you don't like my skin color, whether it's because you don't like my religion, heinous murder is heinous murder. Can you do more than punish this man for three capital murder charges that have the death penalty behind them? Do you really need to do the other thing? And if you do, then why isn't it consistent? As I mentioned, I'll mention again, Major Nadal Hassan of Fort Hood. This is a guy that came in screaming, Allahu Akbar. Killed 13 people. He was never charged with a hate crime. In fact, they still classify it as workplace violence. So that our men and women in the military who were injured there cannot get the kind of benefits they would get if it was declared an act of terrorism. Why? Why do we do that? Why doesn't this president classify that as a hate crime too? Is it because he's worried about offending the Muslims? I mean, why else would he not do that? What is going on? So yeah, those are the problems that I have with the hate crime and the hate crime laws. Well, but hey, you know, President Obama's trying to bring us all together. Remember, he said he was going to run as a post-racial president, except he's out there now giving speeches with Al Sharpton. Well, Al Sharpton's trying to shake off these charges that he was involved with the cocaine deal gone bad, which is why the feds were able to flip him into an informant. And Obama's out there talking at the Al Sharpton event at the National Action Network conference and reviving his birther controversy. He's reviving it. So just to be clear, I know where my birth certificate is, but a lot of people don't. He was talking about voter ID. You remember that? That was crazy. That was some crazy stuff. I hadn't thought about that in a while. Right, sure you hadn't. You're trying to find ways to bring out your base. Look, the Democrats know they're in trouble in this election coming up. Their base is not motivated to come out. And the Republican base is motivated to come out. Because the Republican base is motivated by Obamacare, by the IRS scandal, by the Fast and Furious scandal, by the Benghazi scandal. The Democratic base is not motivated this time. They're worried. They're worried big time. So he's got to ramp them up. He's got to get them going. He went on to talk about the bogus voter fraud that's out there. Oh, there's no voter fraud out there at all. And these Republicans are trying to make it harder, not easier to vote. And of course, everybody knows that the Republicans trying to go after voter fraud are really just racist. Thanks for the post-racial presidency, President Obama. Yeah. Oh, we really needed you to bring us together like that. He said, voter fraud should be prevented, of course, but it rarely occurs. It's bogus. Well, how do you know? How do you know? We know that tens of thousands of people are on the rolls in two states. We know that tens of thousands of illegal aliens have been found on the voting rolls from the motor voter bill. We know that dead people are on the voter rolls. We know that people have voted fraudulently. We have proof of that. We know that there are elections that have changed because of voter fraud. Once again, I'll tell you, I'm right here in Kansas City. We have one in Kansas City, Missouri. The vote, it was a Democratic primary. It changed by one vote. And we have proof now that multiple immigrants who are not U.S. citizens voted in that election. We also had people on TV admitting they lived out of district and voted in that district.
But no, no, no. Voter fraud doesn't happen. Nothing to worry about. Listen, here's the truth about it. President Obama and his people want voter fraud.
What do you mean, his people?
Democrats.
Oh, I thought you meant something else. I was just trying.
President Obama and the Democrats want the voter fraud because they know it helps them more than it helps the Republicans. That's the bottom line. Look, they've done poll after poll after poll on this. The majority of all different demographics, majority of Democrats, majority of Republicans, majority of conservatives, majority of liberals, majority of whites, blacks, Asians, Hispanics, men, women, any way you can slice it, the majority comes down on the side of voter ID. But no, 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 Obama says, if your strategy depends on fewer people showing up to vote, that's not a sign of strength, it's a sign of weakness. What kind of political platform is that? Why would you want to make that part of your agenda, preventing people from voting? No, it's preventing people from voting illegally. The reason you want to do that, President Obama, as you know, is because every illegal vote cancels out a legal vote. See, he wants the fraud. It's racist. It's racist to ask people to show their ID. Did you notice last week when Afghanistan had a vote? You had David Axelrod, from the former big guy with Obama, tweeting out how great it was that the Afghans had risked their lives to vote. And Jay Carney talked about how great it was that the Afghans were voting and how we should look to them. And President Obama talked about, you know what they left out? You know what they do in Afghanistan? They make you show photo ID to vote in Afghanistan. Somehow it's not racist there. You know, Bill Clinton said last week, he said, maybe we should just put your photo ID and your Social Security card to take care of the voting problem. Well, wait a second. I didn't think there was a voting problem. Bill Clinton must be racist. Oh, everybody's racist, according to the Democrats. Listen to this one. Let me hear cut 10 here. This is the DCCC chair, Steve Israel. He was on with Candy Crowley on CNN explaining how, you know, a lot of these Republicans are just racist.
Not all of them. No, of course not. But to a significant extent, the Republican base does have elements that are animated by racism.
Yeah, not all of them. You know, I don't know, it's crazy or anything. Not all of them, but significant elements that are racist. Okay, name them. He said that some of these Republicans are racist. Okay, name them. Name names. Quit being a wimp about it. Quit beating around the bush about it. Who are they? Who are the racists? See, he won't because he can't. Because all they're doing is throwing out these race charges because one of the worst things you can be called in America today is a racist. And how do you really defend yourself from that? Because you're already in the defensive. It's like, okay, when did you stop beating your wife? It's one of those questions. How do you handle that? And he's not the first one to say this kind of stuff. Let's hear Nancy Pelosi cut 9 from last week on why the Republicans are not on board with amnesty.
I think race has something to do with the fact that they're not bringing up an immigration bill. I've heard them say to the Irish, for just you, this would be easy.
Really? You've heard them say to the Irish? Really? Who? Which Republican politicians? Name them. And of course she couldn't, and she backed off. And her spokesman came, well, what she meant was she had constituents that had heard from Republicans that that's what they said. No, she didn't. They're making it up. This does not happen. This is the way they're trying to gin up their base. Even Candy Crowley pointed it out. Candy Crowley said, this Democrats playing the race card looks like election year strategy, trying to get your base out. The Democratic National Committee has said that, that they need to get their base out. George Will, I think, nailed it. Let's hear cut 11 on this race card.
Liberalism has a kind of Tourette syndrome these days. It's just constantly saying the word racism and racist. It's become a joke among young people. You go to a campus, this kind of political correctness reigns, and some young person will say, looks like it's going to rain. The person looks and says, you're a racist. I mean, it's so inappropriate, the constant invocation of this, that it is, I think, becoming a national mirth.
Is there going to be a backlash at some point? Are Americans going to be tired of being called racist every time they question our government right now? Because President Obama is black, because Eric Holder is black, now you're a racist if you question your government.
It used to be, remember, it used to be the hallmark of patriotism to question your government when President George W. Bush was president. How come when I questioned George Bush, I wasn't a racist? How come when I questioned Bill Clinton, I wasn't a racist? How come when I questioned George H.W. Bush, and on we go, you weren't racist then, but now you are? This is all they got. Is America going to succumb to it, or are we going to say we reject that? Love your thoughts on that. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board the program. And I got to get you this story about a new way to take Viagra and how thinking about death can actually enhance your life. It's all coming up in just a minute. My name is Greg Knapp, in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation. We were talking about how DCCC Chair Steve Israel said, you know, Republicans are racist. I mean, not all of them, but you know, a lot of them. And Nancy Pelosi saying the reason they're not for amnesty is because they're racist. And President Obama saying they're trying to stop you from voting because they're racist. When are we going to get sick of this? When is it going to be enough? When is there going to be a backlash from America over this where we say, stop it? Let me start with John, WABC. John, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp. Go right ahead.
Hi, Greg. Like I said earlier, the problem is not Obama. A snake is a snake is a snake, okay? There's no opposition to this man. He's crapping all over our Constitution. The Republicans let him pass the health care law with no fanfare at all. He's passing illegal immigration, and these guys stand by and do nothing. I think.
Well, I'll tell you what. I agree with you on the amnesty deal, that they're not doing near enough to stop him from doing his own dream act, even though he went around Congress. On Obamacare, not a single Republican voted for it. I don't know what else they could have done. Now, I do agree they need to do more to stop him from continuing to break his own laws. He's done 27 times. And you're right that really he feels invincible now. I mean, he says, I've got a pen. He does whatever he wants to. And Eric Holder, his attorney general, uses his, quote, discretion to do whatever he wants to in prosecuting or not prosecuting the law. You're right. And I think they feel invincible. Let me get Sal in at KIH. Sal, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp. Go right ahead.
Hey, Greg. Thanks for taking the call. I appreciate it. Nice talking with you.
Sure.
So my comment is back to your statement about what are we going to do about this race thing. Well, if I can go with you a little farther down the road as we're approaching the elections and, you know, those kind of things. You know, obviously the Democrats don't have a lot to really stand on that's substantial in terms of the good. They haven't really done anything. So obviously they're going to be picking at whatever they can on the other side. It seems to me like race is just one of the many cards they're going to be pulling out of the deck here. And the media, again, allows them, not all media, obviously, but there's not, like you said, accountability. And even if there was, what are we going to do about it? It's like there's so many steps to get these folks out of power. I don't know if people just give up, but you can't. You got to stay strong. And I think they're honestly, they're trying to splinter the psyche of America and to a place where, oh God, everybody's against me and it's only the Democrats are there for me and they're my savior. And I think that's unfortunate, but that's what they're trying to position themselves.
Yeah, I think you're right, Sal. Thanks for the call. They are trying to do that, and it's what they've been doing. It's their whole position has been, we're the only ones who can help you. You can't do it alone. You need us. We're the government and we're here to help you. You can't do it on your own. And so now they're floating out again the war on women. They're saying that the Republicans are racist, that they hate women. They're going to throw all this stuff up again. These are the guys trying to divide you. And yes, the media is complicit with it. My name's Greg Knapp, in for Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for the doctor on the Savage Nation. You can jump in with me as well at 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE, and you can check out the stories at michaelsavage.com. We're going to get into your government coming after your money to pay off a debt that your parents racked up. I can't make this stuff up. We're going to get to it. And it'll lead you to Do You Trust Your Government? Cheryl Atkinson, formerly of CBS, talking to Fox News over the weekend, explaining how they used to short-circuit her stories on CBS, one of the reasons she stepped away, and how the media has really been compliant to this administration, something I talked about last hour. We're going to get into the USDA getting ready to ban all junk food from schools. Unintended consequences? Yeah, we'll hit that. And speaking of food, the UN wants to tell you what to eat now. The UN. All of that in North Texas looking to drink their sewage water? It's all coming up this hour of the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in. You know, right before the break, we were talking about the Democrats trying to use race, trying to divide us with race and trying to drum up the vote from their base over race. And some crazy, crazy comments. Let's hear again. This is DCC Chair Steve Israel on with Candy Crowley yesterday, where he's saying, yeah, I believe that a lot of Republicans are racist. Cut 10.
Not all of them. No, of course not. But to a significant extent, the Republican base does have elements that are animated by racism.
Now, she had asked about Republican politicians. Well, not all of them. Okay, name them. And Nancy Pelosi cut 9 on why the Republicans aren't for amnesty and aren't ready to pass an amnesty bill. Listen to this.
I think race has something to do with the fact that they're not bringing up an immigration bill. I've heard them say to the Irish, for just you, this would be easy.
And, of course, she has not heard that. She had to backpedal and say, well, her spokesperson said what she meant to say was her constituents said they heard Republicans say that. Oh, name names. They won't, because they can't. But they don't care. It doesn't have to be true. Look, you say a lie often enough, and people start to believe it. And you know there are people who believe this, that they believe that all Republicans are racist, because they've heard it ad nauseum. They've heard it from Eric Holder. They've heard it from Nancy Pelosi. They've heard it from Harry Reid. They've heard it from, you name the prominent Democrat. They've heard it over and over and over again. And the media really doesn't do much to stop it. In fact, they tend to support it. They tend to say the same things. Look at what Chris Matthews says. Look at what you see on the mainstream networks where they try to tie the Tea Party to racism. That's what I mean by the media's being compliant in it. And the real reason they do it is to shut you up. Because you don't want to be called a racist, so you don't want to really speak out with some of your beliefs that aren't racist at all for fear that you might be called racist. You don't want to admit that you're a conservative because you might be called racist even though it has nothing to do with racism. So we're talking about that. And is there a time now where maybe they've overplayed their hands on the left, looking at the world through race-colored glasses? Everything is race. And of course, when everything is race, nothing is. I think most Americans are tired of it, and it's an undercurrent where they're afraid to speak out about it because they're afraid that they will be labeled a racist just for even bringing that up. The intimidation coming down from this administration is amazing. Look at what's happened with the IRS going after conservative groups, groups labeled conservative or Tea Party. We've seen what's going on with the IRS. That scandal's out of control, and yet, again, the media's ignoring it. The day that the House said it's time to charge Lois Lerner with some crimes, ABC, NBC, and CBS Nightly News didn't even cover that story. That's amazing, isn't it? I mean, I don't care whether you agree with them or not. That's a story, and they're not even carrying it. You look at Fast and Furious, you look at Benghazi. They don't even want to talk about it anymore, even though we still don't have the answers to a lot of the questions. You know, Cheryl Atkinson was on over the weekend with Fox News, a big, long interview with Howie Kurtz, and they were talking about why she left CBS, and she brought up how the Obama administration has really put a chilling effect on journalism. Let's hear cut 12.
there is pressure coming to bear on journalists for just doing their job in ways that have never come to bear before. Now, there have always been tensions. There have always been calls from the White House under any administration, I assume, when they don't like a particular story. But it's particularly aggressive under the Obama administration, and I think it's a campaign that's very well organized, that's designed to have sort of a chilling effect, and to some degree has been somewhat successful in getting broadcast producers who don't really want to deal with the headache of it. Why put on these controversial stories that we're going to have to fight people on when we can fill the broadcast with other perfectly decent stories that don't ruffle the same feathers?
Yeah, exactly right. That's what's been happening. First of all, most of the media loves this president and doesn't want to put anything out there that would question him anyway. Then when people are of the volition to actually do that, they get sidetracked. And Cheryl Axton pointed out, you know, they don't come to you and say, hey, Cheryl, this story's bad. We don't want you going after the president. They say, Cheryl, this is a great story. It's really good. And then they don't put it on. Or they change it so much that it's almost not the same story when they put it on. And then they tell you, well, you know, I think you've been going too hard on this story. And as she points out, Watergate, really, compare that to Benghazi, Fast and Furious, IRS, not even close. And yet, the media grabbed onto that like a pit bull on a bone, and then they go, that thing, but this is different. No, 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 you guys have been too much on that IRS. We don't even have the answers yet. You've been too much on Benghazi. We don't even have anybody arrested yet. You've been too much on Fast and Furious. We still don't know all the details of who ordered what, when, and where, but it doesn't matter. It's over. Move along. What difference does it make anyway, remember? And it's really having an impact on how much American citizens trust their government, as if we did before. And now you got this. Look at this one that came out of the Washington Post this weekend. Do you know that now our federal government is going after adult children for the debts of their parents? What? Yeah. Oh, no, no, no. They're going after you for your parents' debt. According to the Washington Post, Mary Grice's tax refunds, federal and state, were seized by Uncle Sam because of an old debt to the government. See, when she was four, her father died. This is 1960, by the way. When she was four, her dad died. Her mom had to raise five kids. So until they turned 18, they had survivor benefits, right? Well, Social Security says, whoops, we overpaid back then. Not sure who we overpaid, but we overpaid in 1977. So 37 years later, they seize $5,000 in a tax refund to her to pay off this debt. They can't even tell you that she's the one who received the overpayments. They won't even give her a receipt on how much she owes. And how is it that she owes when they overpaid the mother? Well, indirectly, she benefited. I don't care. No, 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 no. And they just seized her money. Think about this. Imagine if a bank tried to come after you for your parents' mortgage when you were living there as a 10-year-old. There's no way they'd be allowed to do that. That would be criminal theft. Imagine a car loan company came after you for paying off your parents' car loan because you drove around in that car with them when you were five. And they didn't pay off their car loan. No way would they be able to do that. That would be criminal. And yet our federal government is doing it. How? Oh, well, 3 years ago, a single sentence was tucked into the Farm Bill. It lifted a 10-year statute of limitations on old debts. So now they can come after you. And they can come after you with your tax refund. Do they have to have proof that you owed the money? No. Do they have to have proof that it was you? No. Do they have to give you a receipt? No. Did they ever tell you you're paid in full? No. And of course, if you keep your taxes and your tax returns for just 7 years, like they tell you, well, you threw these away because this is 37 years ago. 10 years ago is too much. And they're going after the kids. $424 million in debts that were more than 10 years old. $400,000, that was in 2011. Now, 400,000 taxpayers who owe $714 million on debts more than 10 years old. And you know, this woman, Mary Grice, she says, first of all, the way they went about this, no notice, They can't prove I received an overpayment. They use intimidation tactics. They threaten to report this to the credit bureaus if I don't pay. And then they just seize my money. Here's the thing. Social Security says all we do is we go to the family and we start with the oldest sibling and work our way down until we get all of our money. But the thing is, she's not even the oldest sibling. They said, well, you had income and we could find you. So they went after her money. This, if I wasn't reading this from the Washington Post, I wouldn't even believe it was happening. This is what's happening right now. Her attorney, who's doing it pro bono, said the craziest part of this whole thing is the way the government seizes a child's money to satisfy debt the child never even knew about. They'll say somebody got paid for that child's benefit. Child had no control of the money. You don't know if the child even got it. Too bad. They're going for it. They mailed the notification letter to Miss Grice and her home that her mom had, her P.O. box that they had from 1977 to 1979. That's where they mailed the notification. They haven't had that thing since 1979. And they said, well, obviously you know where I live because the Social Security Department keeps sending me my Social Security statement every year.
Well, that's a different department.
Oh.
Yeah, well, that's good.
She's not the only one. I mean, it's a huge, long, unbelievable story from the Washington Post. So do you trust your government? Can you trust your government anymore? Say, no, it's not even a close call. You can't. From the NSA to the IRS to Fast and Furious to Benghazi to Social Security now coming after debts your parents owed when you were a minor from you. And the question comes again, how long are the American people going to take it before something stops and something changes? Are you calling for some kind of revolution? No, I'm not. I'm not calling for anybody taking up arms. I'm not calling for any of that. I'm calling for people to say enough and changing their government from the inside. 855-400-SAVAGE, get you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE. I'll take your calls on this in just a second. Then we'll get into the junk food in the schools. Lots to do. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in for the doctor on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7.
How you doing? My name's Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you in. 855-400-SAVAGE. We were talking about a couple different things. One was you got Nancy Pelosi saying that the Republicans are racist. That's why they're not doing amnesty. You've got the DCCC chair, Steve Israel, saying, oh, yes, lots of Republicans are racist. Not all of them, of course, but, you know, a lot of them are racist. And, of course, we've heard that from Harry Reid. We've heard it from Eric Holder. We've heard it from lots of people in the Obama administration. We've heard it from lots of people in the media with zero evidence. But that doesn't matter. And now Obama's out there talking about how there is no real voter fraud. It's bogus. And this is just to try to stop people from voting. And, of course, people of color. It's racist. Well, Bill Clinton must be racist. He came out and said we should have a photo on the Social Security ID. The Afghan people must be racist because they had voter photo ID for their previous election just last week that the Obama administration was gaga over. I guess in Mexico, they're racist because they now have to do photo ID to vote. And by the way, voting for minorities went up after photo IDs were put into these different states, not down. Maybe because they thought, hey, guess what? Maybe my vote really counts this time and it's not fraudulent. People aren't canceling out my vote. Maybe that's part of it. No. The Democrats like it because the fraud helps them more than the Republicans. Bottom line. I want some of your thoughts on it as well. 855-400-SAVAGE, also on that Social Security coming after your money to go after debt your parents racked up when you were a kid. It's crazy. All right. Let me start with Julie. Julie wanted to jump in on all this. Julie in WABC, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Okay, thanks, Greg. Regarding the racism charge by the Democrats, this is going to be said every day to November's election, and it sticks. Because the Republicans never fight back. I saw on CNN yesterday, Candy Crowley and Steve Israel. You know what Congressman Republican Greg Walden said? He said it's unfortunate. He should be calling the Democrats, use their own words, racist, anti-Hispanic, the way they attacked Ted Cruz for a year, the way they went after Alberto Gonzalez, the Democrats did, attacking him and getting rid of him. You've got to use their words. This jerk, Congressman Walden, was afraid of the liberal media and Steve Israel. This happens every... We have terrible pundits on TV every day, including the Sunday shows.
I think you're right, Julie. Here's the thing. I think you're right on to it, is that the Republicans are playing defense, and they're worried that no matter what they say, it will be twisted against them and make them sound racist. So it's like, when did you stop beating your wife? And so, as you mentioned, the response should be, all right, name the people who are racist. Give evidence of what you're talking about. What are you talking about? You know what? For you making that allegation, that is racist in and of itself. You know, I would contend that there are more racist Democrats than there are racist Republicans. Well, how? On what evidence? Well, you give me your evidence. I mean, you're right. Because, see, the problem is if you do that, now you're down in the muck. Do you want to be down there? Well, you know what? Sometimes you have to. Sometimes you have to win. I mean, you know what? I think a lot of your Democrats, I can tell you the one in Alabama that was racist, that said that the only reason Republicans are against abortion, if I'll tell you what, if it was black men impregnating white women, they wouldn't be against abortion. A black state representative said that on the floor of the Alabama legislature just last week. And a Facebook page sprung up of white Alabama families who had adopted biracial children and minority children. But it didn't matter. Right? If a black Republican runs for office, there are Democrats all over calling him an Uncle Tom. Isn't that racist? The idea that you have to believe a certain way because of your skin color, which is what the Democrats perpetuate, isn't that racist? People like Spike Lee and all these other black celebrities on the left that are constantly saying racist statements against white people. Stop it. I don't want it to be about race. I want it to be about this country. Quit playing the race card. My name's Greg Knapp, in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE. And, you know, the crazy stories about the government, Social Security now, coming after your tax refund for your parents' debt, overpayments to your parent, when you were a minor, that's crazy. Like I said, if a private company tried to do this, not only would they be told they couldn't do it, they'd be charged with a crime for doing this to you, seizing your money this way. The federal government can do it? No problem. Well, just like if your private business tried to set up a retirement plan the way Social Security has been set up, like a Ponzi scheme, where the people right now are paying in for the people who are retiring right now, which is really how it works now, you would be arrested. Your company would be shut down. The federal government does it? No problem. This is the kind of stuff that we're dealing with. You look what happened with the Nevada rancher. Well, now listen, that guy was wrong as the federal law goes. Federal law says this was federal land even before Nevada was a state. This was federal land before this man's family even started letting their cattle graze on it in the 1870s. It was 1846 that it goes back to being federal land. Federal court said that's the way it is. In fact, this rancher was actually paying the federal government grazing fees. Yeah, that's all true. But then the federal government starts saying, well, all right, we've got to reduce the amount of cattle that you have on here. And by the way, we've got the desert tortoise that is endangered here now. So we're going to change how this whole thing is going to work. And we're going to buy out some of these ranchers. Well, basically, they bought them out with what their fees were to graze on it anyway. So they didn't really make any money on losing this land that they've been grazing on for generations, all for the so-called desert tortoise. And so, you know, the rancher said, you know what? I'm tired of paying these leasing fees for the Bureau of Land Management to manage me right out of business. I'm the last rancher standing. I ain't doing it anymore. And that's where we got to the government overreach. So we have the federal government come in with a couple hundred armed federal agents to take these cattle. But he owed all this money and back fees and interest payments. But there's got to be a better way to do this than to have the government overreach and the government back down because people said enough. And like I said, and in that case, he was probably in the wrong in terms of the federal law went. But it brings up all these questions. Why does the federal government own 80% of the land or manage 80% of the land in the state of Nevada? Why should our federal government own that much land? Why do they own so much nationwide? You know, if we sold all the federal land, they've done the numbers on this. If we sold all of our federal land except for, you know, we can keep some of our national parks. Let's say we keep all of our national parks, but we sell back all the other land. We could pay off the entire debt. Done. $17 trillion. We can't do that because then people would own it, and we can't trust the people. Isn't that nice? I thought it was we the people. I thought it was of, by, and for the people. Oh, can't trust them. It's crazy. Crazy talk. And this is what's happening in the nation where we're saying, what happened to this country? Am I still living in the same land I thought I was living in? Where the Social Security can seize my tax refund to pay a debt that my parents owed when I was a child? They won't even tell me what the amount of the debt was, who it was overpaid to, and whether it's been paid off in full. And when I call to try and do something about it, I'm on hold for hours. Well, you know, it's better than the Obamacare website. Well, not really. It's about the same. Let me get Ann in on this. Ann, you are on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Hi, thank you. Oh, my mind is reeling. I have something to say on all of that. Isn't that what they refer to as a shakedown? The IRS confiscation? And I don't think that anybody should be paying anything to the IRS until Timothy Geithner has to pay the penalties and interest that he owes on his little oops, and every federal employee that owes money to the IRS. What's their incentive or purpose in going after individual people? It's not going to make up for our national debt. My mind's reeling.
Right, I understand. Well, of course they say that, you know, well, obviously we got to go after the money that's owed us. Well, why didn't you do it when it was owed instead of going after these children? A shakedown is really more like when you say either do this or else we're going to do this to you in terms of, hey, we're coming after you and saying that your company is discriminatory towards women unless you give us all this money or something like that. That's more of the shakedown. This is just more straight up, we're taking your money. No shakedown point to it. They're just taking it.
And on a discriminatory basis.
Yeah, Ann, thanks for the call. I appreciate you getting in on it. I don't understand how we're not more up in arms, figuratively, over what the IRS has been doing. From the Tea Party conservative thing all the way to now what's going on with this, with the Social Security and Treasury Department. It's crazy. You can chime in at 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. A couple other ones I wanted to throw out at you. Did you see that the USDA is banning all junk food in school starting next year? All of it gone. I mean, it doesn't matter whether it's in a vending machine, in the stores, in the lunchrooms. So either you're going to eat the Michelle Obama plan of the fruits, the veggies, the whole grains, the dairy, the crazy meals where, in order to meet the federal guidelines, they had things like shrimp on a stick and cheese. That was the meal. To the point that people were like, I'm going hungry, Michelle Obama. I can't. People throwing away the fruits and the veggies and the whole grain because they didn't like it. We saw the big report on that last week. What's going to happen? Does this mean really, truly no candy, no junk food at the schools? Do you think that they're going to still let the band and the choir and the sports group sell their candy on campus in order to do a fundraiser? Are you going to go to this high school football game and you're going to buy carrots and celery at the concession stand? You know what's going to happen at school? Here's what's going to happen at school. This is where the liberals don't get the whole idea of, when you stop people or try to stop people from doing what they really want to do, there are going to be unintended consequences. Give me a black market. Some young entrepreneur is going to start making some money at school. He's going to go to Walmart and buy big bags of Snickers. Real cheap. And he's going to go to school and mark it up about 1,000%. A 25-cent candy bar, he's going to sell for $2. And he's going to start making some money until the school gets mad at him, and then, of course, he'll be suspended for doing what? Filling a need. You guys have created a need. Here's this student just trying to create a need, fill a need, and he's going to be the guy in trouble. I got in a little trouble in elementary school. I was selling cinnamon-flavored toothpicks. Quite a markup. I was just trying to earn a little extra cash on the side, and I got in trouble for it. So I understand where this is coming from. I understand what's going to happen. You got to look at the unintended consequences. And you want to talk about people telling you what to eat? Are you ready for the UN to tell you what to eat? The United Nations telling you the world is ending. The sky is falling. But it's not too late to save the planet. There's one last chance. How many times have we been told that? Well, there's one last chance. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change found that decades of foot dragging by political leaders has propelled humanity into a critical situation. Greenhouse emissions rising faster than ever. Now, it does remain technically possible to keep planetary warming to a tolerable level, but only with an intensive push over the next 15 years to bring those emissions under control. So what do we do? What do we do? How do we do it? Well, according to the Telegraph, what we have to do is spend about $300 billion a year over the next 20 years for investments. Oh, good. Yeah, investments in solar energy and wind and nuclear. The Greenies don't like nuclear. You're not going to get that either. All right, well, wind and solar and gas should replace coal-fired stations. Sierra Club's against the natural gas, too. Well, we got to do something, and it's only going to hurt our global economic output by about 5% through 2030, and then by 2100, it would only hurt our global economic output by about 12%. I mean, there's nothing. And for you, if you want to do your part, the UN would like you to quit eating so much. Okay, you got to cut your calories down because you're just, it's unsustainable how much you're eating. And you got to quit eating meat. All right, so, all right, let me get to the UN Intergovernmental Panel here. Intergovernmental Panel, excuse me. I'll tell you what, guys, you quit flying around the globe on private jets. You quit eating the foie gras and eating at the hoity-toity restaurants. You quit living this life that's so large we could only dream of and buying your carbon offset credits. Try that for 5 years and then get back and talk to me, and maybe we'll start talking about it. I was loving this Telegraph piece. They call them climate change skeptics issue a warning to governments not to succumb to the green agenda. It will drive up the cost of living for the rest of the century, which is true. But why do we call these people climate change skeptics? No. I think we should call them the reasonable scientists. Words matter, right? Why do they get to determine what these guys are called? They're not climate change skeptics. They're the climate scientists who have the facts on their side, not theories. They're the reasonable scientists who are looking at the fact that the planet hasn't warmed in 17 years. They're the reasonable scientists who are looking at the fact that the planet has been warmer than it has been in the past. They're the reasonable scientists. Did you see, there's a piece out here today, again from the Telegraph, where they're talking about mining the moon to create dust around the planet to block out the sun, put iron fillings in lakes in the ocean to soak up carbon, putting an asteroid in between the Earth and the sun to block the sun. These people are nuts. Hey, man, it was snowing today where I live. I am ready for some global warming. Let's crank it up. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board the program. 855-400-SAVAGE. I got some people wanting to chime in on this IRS thing. Let's get Gary on WABC. Gary, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Gary.
Go ahead, sir.
You were asking before what to do, or wondering what to do about the shameless techniques of the government lying to the people. I have an idea, which is why Dr. Savage has succeeded so much. Because everybody else keeps whining. When you listen to the other radio talk show, they complain about the government, but they do it whining. And this is the time the government has a war against the people. The Obama administration has a war against the people. We have to acknowledge that this is a war that is being waged against all of us.
But what do you mean by that? When you throw around the word war, I think you have to be careful. Thanks for the call. I don't believe But when you say war, that brings to mind the idea of guns, weapons, tanks, killing people. I don't want that in the United States of America. I don't think that's what you need in the United States of America. It's very easy to change this from the inside. You just got to get enough people to agree with you. And it should be easy right now. There should be a huge backlash to start pushing back. Look, all of this goes in cycles. The pendulum swings. If you remember before Reagan was elected, we were swinging far left, and it started swinging back. The same thing can happen now. No, I'm not for any kind of armed revolution. I'm not for any kind of, quote, war. I'm for educating people, leading people, and getting them to understand what these founding documents are about and how far we fell away from them, and to not let the government continue to change what this country was really built upon being. That's what I'm for. How about you? All right, I got to get you the latest last glitch from Sebelius, a new way for Viagra. We'll get into it all in just a second. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. My name is Greg Knapp, in for the doctor on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now.
Hey, how you doing? My name's Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board the program. 855-400-SAVAGE. Oh, by the way, Harry Reid has come out now today and said, it's not over in the battle of the cattle in Nevada. He said, you know, it's not over. We can't have an American people to violate the law and then just walk away from it. It's not over. And, of course, people have said, well, Harry Reid was involved with this because he and his son wanted to make money off the solar panels in that land. Well, that may have been true. That deal fell apart in 2013. There is no deal anymore, so I don't, you know, who knows. But one of his guys that used to work for him now works at the Bureau of Land Management, so people have been wondering. So that's out there, just keeping you up to date. How about this? You don't have to take the blue pill anymore for Viagra. How about just having some ice cream? What? Inventor Charlie Harry Francis says a celebrity who shall remain nameless, but an A-list celebrity wanted to have a party and wanted him to come up with a Viagra ice cream. Charlie calls it the arousal flavor. Contains about 25 milligrams of Viagra per scoop. The company is from South Wales, calls itself Lick Me, I'm Delicious. Oh, that's great. Viagra, you can get in 25 milligrams, 50, and 100. Most patients recommend that dose is 50, but they said they were very happy with it for the party. That's how the other half lives. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's prescription, go to the doctor. You know, let's just have a party with Viagra ice cream, and the ice cream maker will deal with getting the Viagra. That's great. Hey, I wanted to get you this one. You just when you thought you'd heard the last of Kathleen Sebelius. Well, Friday she had to have her moment in the sun. I mean, she was already thrown under the bus by the Obama administration. Wasn't up there standing next to him for the big, big ceremony when he said, 7.1 million people signed up. See, I told you. Suck it, conservatives. Of course, the problem is those numbers are totally bogus and 6 million people had their insurance canceled. So maybe 1 million new people have insurance. Anyway, Kathleen Sebelius, here she is telling you how many people told her how great Obamacare was. Listen to this.
The reward for me at the end of the day are the folks who approach me, the strangers who approach me at a meeting or pass me a note on a plane or hand me a phone with someone on the other end saying thank you.
Yeah.
Your stories are so heartening
about
finally feeling secure and knowing they can take care of themselves and their families.
Right.
Unfortunately, a page is missing.
Oh, no. Oh, okay, thank you, Kathleen.
I'm just grateful.
That's enough. So one more glitch to end it. I bet it was on the website, but it didn't print out correctly. Probably a little problem with the website. Another glitch. Glitch, please. Did you hear at the beginning? She's saying strangers coming up to her at a meeting? What? Strangers just walk in? Hey, thanks for Obamacare. She didn't tell you about all the people that told her how awful it was. My name's Greg Knapp.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture.
And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp. I'm filling in for the doctor on the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you in. MichaelSavage.com online. Got a lot going on this hour. We got Edward Snowden winning a Pulitzer.
Wait, what?
Yeah, we'll get to that in a moment. Then we've got hundreds of students, their teachers and staff, having their DNA taken to see who might be a rapist.
Whoa.
We've got the Russians using fighter jets to buzz our Navy ships in the Black Sea. And we've got even some people in California now, the highest percentage in history, saying, you know what? We're overtaxed. You think? It's all coming up this hour of the Savage Nation. Filling in for the doctor, my name's Greg Knapp, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE, get you. So this is just coming out today, that for public service reporting, The Guardian and The Washington Post, one for these stories based on Edward Snowden's NSA documents. The New York Times reports that the Pulitzer Board called the reports authoritative and insightful. They help people fit the leaks into the larger framework of national security. And, you know, here's where I stand on Edward Snowden. You tell me what you think. I'm glad he got out the fact that our NSA has been spying on us through metadata, collected about our phones, about our emails, about our text messages, about our internet use. Yeah, we need to know that. We have the right to know that. And we have the right to have the discussion, is that a violation of our Fourth Amendment? And I'm glad he got that out because they were lying to us about it. Director Clapper of the NSA, bald-faced, lied to Congress when they asked, are you collecting any data on American citizens? No. Lie. So, yeah, we needed to know that, and I'm thankful that that information is out. The other side of that is Edward Snowden released a lot more than just that. He released the information on us spying on other countries. Well, how does that help us? No, that, to me, is not helpful, and that's treasonous. Why would he release that? And just what has he given to other countries like Russia? You know, with what Russia's been doing in the Ukraine, our intelligence people say we were kind of caught blindsided by some of the troop movements and some of the things that were going on, and it seems like some of our normal intelligence gathering methods have been thwarted by the Russians, and we're wondering if it's because Edward Snowden gave him some information. Who knows? Who knows? So it's a mixed bag for me on Edward Snowden. All right, I want to start with this one. This is a story that really, I mean, I think challenges us to think, what would you do? Now, it's happening in France, but we've done something similar here in America already. And I think this is the future. And what do you think about it? Private Catholic school in France, and there was a rape. There was a rape in the bathroom. The lights were off. It was dark. The female student could not identify her male attacker. They've done a long investigation, months-long investigation. They have concluded that the girl is telling the truth, that she was raped. They have DNA samples from the clothing of the attacker and some DNA samples from the actual attacker. And since they can't find out who did it, they're asking, you know, politely, voluntarily, for all the men to give a DNA sample. 475 male pupils, 31 male teachers, 21 other male staff who were present at the school on the day of the rape. And they're asking them, can we just have permission to take your DNA sample? See, it's just voluntary. It's totally voluntary. And the students and the parents have to say yes. Okay, what happens if I say no? Well, you'll be viewed as a suspect and could be held for questioning. But it's totally voluntary. You don't have to do it. You don't want to. Oh, that doesn't sound too voluntary to me. You know, when I was living in Dallas, Emmitt Smith, of course, was the best running back that Dallas had at the time. Well, when he retired, they tried to replace him with a bunch of different people. Tyrone Hambrick was one of them. And Tyrone Hambrick got in trouble with the Dallas Cowboys because you know how they have voluntary workouts in the NFL? Because of their union contract, there's only a certain number of days you can actually work out, and there's voluntary workout days. And Tyrone Hambrick didn't want to go.
and didn't go to a couple of voluntary days. And the coach didn't like it, and Jerry Jones didn't like it, and the media asked him about why he didn't go to these voluntary workouts, and everybody was upset. And in the immortal words of Tyrone Hambrook, he said, "What do voluntary mean?" Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. What do voluntary mean? I don't know how voluntary this is. And so on the one hand, you're like, well, obviously we want to catch this rapist, but you're talking about 527 men who are now being found guilty until they prove that they're innocent by giving up their DNA. Well, but hey, isn't it worth it? I mean, if you can catch the rapist, what harm does it really do you to have a little mouth swab and give up some of your DNA? I mean, really, it's not that big a deal. Just let them swab your mouth. And, you know, I guess it really isn't that big a deal until you go to the next step and the next step and the next step. There was a murder in this area of town, and we have some of the DNA of the murderer, so we're just going to go around to every house and do a DNA swab of every person's mouth. Well, but you don't have any evidence that I did it. So what? I mean, don't you want to catch the murderer? What's wrong with you? Hey, are you resisting? Are you one of those people? I think we might have to take you in for questioning. Hey, what do voluntary mean? You know, there's a reason we have the Fourth Amendment. I mean, if you really want to stop most crime, just throw out all of our rights. Throw out the Bill of Rights, and we can catch a lot more criminals. Sure, we could just go through the areas that we know are high crime areas and search all the homes, and we could probably find drugs and illegal weapons and all kinds of stuff. It'll be great. Except that we're trampling on people's rights. And yeah, if we just take everybody's DNA and put it in a huge database, we'll be able to solve so many crimes. Except we're trampling on people's rights. But, you know, isn't it worth it? Wouldn't it be worth it? Students got their summonses last week to do this. Most pupils were happy to take part in the exercise, but some said they regretted not being informed of the rape until several months after the attack. The local prosecutor said 40 samples will be taken per hour under the watch of teachers when it comes to pupils, as photos and ID cards are not always trustworthy for minors. Uh-oh, photos? IDs? Photo ID? I don't know, that sounds kind of racist. In France, well, look out. Now, some are saying, yes, I understand the argument that those who have done nothing wrong have no reason to refuse, but why should refusal be considered an admission of guilt? That's the president of the French Human Rights League. I mean, because you can also say it the other way, that, you know, those who have done nothing wrong, you can understand why they don't understand why they have to give their DNA. You know, might actually think that that's not something that they should have to give up. What do you think? Now, they've done similar stuff here. They've done some stuff in certain neighborhoods where they had a murderer or rapist on the loose. I remember doing this story about a year ago. I have to look it up again to find the exact locations. Where they went around and voluntarily asked if you'd do the mouth swab. That's all voluntary. Don't worry. It'll never be mandatory. Kind of like how seatbelts were always voluntary. Remember that? And it's never going to be... Oh, wait. Yeah. That's probably a bad example. But, you know, I'm sure this time... it's truly going to stay voluntary. Meanwhile, the Obama administration, according to the Daily Beast, prepping new sanctions against Russia. I mean, this time we're going to crack down, because the Obama administration is shocked and alarmed that the Russian forces are moving in eastern Ukraine. And they're moving fast to punish Putin for it. Boy, they're not going to stand back this time, Buster. You better watch out. We're drawing a new red line. We're going to mean it this time. And then the Russian jets buzzing a U.S. Navy ship in the Black Sea. See this from Reuters? A Russian fighter aircraft made repeated low-altitude, close-range passes near a U.S. ship in the Black Sea over the weekend. The Pentagon's condemning it. The time of heightened U.S.-Russian tensions over Ukraine. This reminds me of Top Gun. Remember Top Gun? Maverick and Goose flying up against the MiG, and the MiG was not where it was supposed to be and was on the backside of one of our Navy guys, and Maverick and Goose had to fly up, and they did the inverted dive, and they flipped him the bird. Remember that? Can we have a little Top Gun music? Remember that movie? This is just like Top Gun. Colonel Steve Warren, Pentagon spokesman, very upset, saying the Russian plane was acting in an unprofessional way. Unprofessional. Violation of international norms. You remember this song? Said these continued acts of provocations and unprofessionalism do nothing to de-escalate the situation in Ukraine. I wonder if they were communicating with us, you know, shooting us the finger. So what are we going to do? I mean, this is Putin giving us the finger. Putin is saying, yeah, what are you going to do about it? If I want to move into eastern Ukraine, I'll move into eastern Ukraine. What are you going to do? Where's Maverick and Goose when you need them? You know, I actually heard they're doing a remake of Top Gun. Not a remake, sorry, a sequel. And in the sequel, Tom Cruise's character has to show why you still need pilots. He's gonna fly against the drones. That's what I heard on. Did you go see that? We were just communicating, you know, shooting the finger. All right. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board the program. 855-400-SAVAGE. We were also talking about the IRS and the IRS going after people. All right, that's enough of Top Gun. Thank you. I'm having flashbacks to the whole Goose and Maverick thing. And, you know, anytime I think of Goose, I get sad. Why did Goose have to die? So we also have the IRS thing going on. President Obama has proposed over 400 new taxes in his 5 years. We got some details on that. Some Californians are finally saying they've been taxed enough. Your thoughts on that, too. Let me get Alan in, WTMA South Carolina. Alan, you're on the Savage Nation. I'm filling in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much. I kind of think that I have no trouble with the IRS going out and collecting taxes that are due to them. You know, I pay my taxes on time. I pay what the tax forms say I should pay. I'm not happy with the amount that I have to pay. But if somebody else doesn't pay their fair share in a timely manner, that means next year I'm going to have to pay their share. And
right. Alan, let's make sure you know what you're talking about. The IRS, what I was talking about in that Washington Post story, is the Social Security is trying to go back and take what they call overpayments to people that they overpaid over 10 years ago, and they're trying to take it from adult children who were minors at the time, and they can't even give them proof that they were overpaid survivor's benefits through Social Security. They can't tell you who was overpaid. They won't tell you exactly how much. They're not allowing these people to get receipts showing that they've actually paid the debt. That's not the same thing as saying, hey, you didn't pay your taxes last year. They're going after you for something they say your parents did when you were a minor, Alan. That's a little different, isn't it?
Yeah, I agree with you on that part. I didn't hear that first part of the conversation when I tuned in.
Yeah, that's the problem. That's the problem that I have with it. They're going after children. Imagine if a bank went after you when you were a kid for your parents not paying off their mortgage. Right?
I understand.
Okay, thanks. I appreciate you getting in. That's what our government is doing now. That's what's crazy. Instead of doing what they're supposed to do, doing it the right way. And by the way, you won't believe this. On the other side, when they don't pay you what you're owed, what do? I'm going to hit that for you in just a second. Love your thoughts. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-SAVAGE. My name's Greg Knapp. I'm filling in for the doctor on the Savage Nation. Hey, my name is Greg Knapp. I'm filling in for the doctor on the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE. One of the things I was talking about is Social Security Administration is going after adult children who 20, 30, 40 years ago had their parents overpaid by Social Security. And now they're going after them, even though they can't prove that they're the ones who got the money because they didn't. They're saying, well, maybe indirectly they did, but they can't even prove that. Wow. That long. But guess what? By statute, if you don't claim your IRS refund after 3 years, you don't get it. Big story today. You're about to lose out on $760 million cumulatively, all the American citizens who are owed their IRS refund and haven't claimed it over the last 3 years. So by statute, you only get 3 years to claim your money, and then it's done. But the IRS can go back, it looks like, indefinitely and claim money that they claim they overpaid to your parents. Oh, yeah, that's fair. All right, I got it. Good. Mark wants to chime in on the Russian jets buzzing our Navy ship in the international waters of the Black Sea. Mark, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
Well.
Any time you are challenged in the military, where you're, if you're on post, wherever you're at, you're challenged, you respond to that challenge. That's what we should have done, is send up a couple of Eagles, or, well, in this case, it'd be Navy Tomcats, and harass the heck out of them.
Yeah. You know, and Mark, we don't know. I don't think they've really told us what we did in response. They're only telling us what they want to tell us. So I don't know precisely what we did. As you mentioned, I can't imagine we didn't send anything up. And if we didn't, then what's going on? Like you said, I mean, what? Obviously, we don't want to turn it into an international incident, as they say, or start any kind of a war. But you also don't want to let the Russians do a giant FU to you, which is what it looks like they've done. And all you're doing is encouraging more of that. It's just like with any other kind of a bully. And to keep putting ourselves in a position where we have to keep looking weak because of how this president is handling this, I certainly don't want to get any kind of a war, then quit getting us to the point where you're almost forcing us into it. Know what you're going to do, have a plan, and then execute the plan. Don't leave the other people guessing whether you're serious or not. Well, they're not guessing. They know we're not. Really? Don't they? I'm going to get into this tax thing with California saying they're taxed too much and Obama's tax proposals. Hang in there with me. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage.
How you doing? My name's Greg Knapp. I'm in for the doctor on the Savage Nation. You can reach out to Michael through, of course, the website, seeing what stories are up. He'll be back soon. 855-400-SAVAGE. Get you on the program. 855-400-SAVAGE. And one of the things we're talking about is the taxes. Social Security going after the adult children. Not because they owe the Social Security money, but because their parents do. And they may have indirectly benefited. Unbelievable story. Well, they just did another survey of Californians, Public Policy Institute of California, and Breitbart's reporting 60% of Californians are now saying they pay much more or somewhat more in taxes than they should. Even liberal Californians are understanding now they're paying too much in taxes. But that's the good news. I would say, what's wrong with the other 40%? Well, those are probably the 40% who aren't paying any taxes. Oh, okay. That's right. That's what got Mitt Romney in trouble. But then there's this other part of the same survey. And the very same Californians that say they're being taxed too much say the answer to being taxed too much, tax the wealthy more. Oh, yeah, that'll do it. How much blood can you get out of the turnip? I mean, at some point, how much should you punish people for earning more money? At what point do you say that's enough? I mean, tomorrow's tax day. You know what I did a couple weeks ago? I looked at what I was paying in federal income tax, state income tax, payroll tax, property tax, sales tax, personal property tax. I mean, I was just going down the list of taxes on my utility bills, taxes on my cell phone bills, taxes everywhere you could think. I was adding it all up. I mean, you really look at it from city, state, federal. I'm paying more than 50% of what I earn to the government. And I'm not in the top 1%. I'm not even close. I'm middle class America, and I'm paying over 50% of my income in taxes. That's outrageous.
Well, but Social Security you'll get back.
Yeah, right. Yeah, keep telling that one. Right, sure I will. Yeah. When are we going to say that's enough? But instead we say, well, the problem, what we need to do is just tax the rich more. Yeah, that's how we'll solve that one. And the Americans for Tax Reform have come out with their analysis of all of President Obama's budget so far and what he's proposed in them in terms of tax hikes. Now, not tax hikes he's actually done, because you got to get those approved from Congress, but tax hikes that he's actually put in his own budgets. As Grover Norquist puts it, history tells us what Obama was able to do. This list reminds us of what Obama wanted to do. It's a 15-page list. You ready? 442. Proposed tax increases from President Obama. 79 in fiscal year 2010, 52 the next year, 47 the next year, 34 during the election year, then after he was reelected, 137 proposals, then 93 proposals. Yeah, the budget with the lowest number of proposed tax increases was during his election year. Isn't that nice? And listen to some of the things he said. With Men's Health in 2009, he was asked about the idea of a national tax on soda and sugary drinks. Obama said, I actually think it's an idea we should be exploring. CNBC, John Harwood, 2010, about the value-added tax they have in Europe. That's something that would be novel for the United States. He didn't say no. In fact, he said this. Presidents are judged, he had a pattern of remarks where he did not rule out the idea of a value-added tax in addition to the income tax. Wow. Hey, let me get Rick in, WFTL, Florida. Rick, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Hey, how you doing, sir? Good day to you. I was just curious. I'm listening to the program here about IRS taking people's money, right? I'm just wondering if the Obama girls, when they get out of office, do they have to pay back the $1,800,000 they used to go to Japan, I think it was?
Hawaii and Africa and all these different... that's a good question.
No.
Yeah, we're going to have to... Hey, listen, thanks for the call, Rick. Hey, listen, I mean, all of our children are going to have to pay back our debts eventually, right? All the debts we're racking up on them. But you're right, I mean, here we go in the Social Security going after these adult children for something their parents did. Are they going to go after the Obama girls for what their dad has done? How about we just go after Obama for what Obama's done? Let me get Steve in as well, KMAJ in Kansas. Steve, you're on the Savage Nation. Greg Knapp for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Thanks, Greg. Yeah, what makes them think they can come after my kids and my grandkids if they overpay me? If they ain't got enough mathematicians to do it right the first go-around, what makes you think they'll get it right later on?
And they won't even prove they've got it right. They won't give you any kind of proof. They won't give you any kind of receipts. They won't give you any kind of information. They're not even going after people they can prove had received this money. They're just going after the oldest sibling and working their way down. It's a great point, Steve. Thanks for the call. And now we're learning, of course, the statute says you have 3 years to claim a refund they didn't pay you, and then they get to keep it. But they have forever to come after you for something that wasn't even given to you but was given to your parents. Great! I mean, what is there not to like about the way our federal government works when it comes to your taxes? Jerry wants to chime in on the situation with Russia getting even more heated. The Obama administration saying we're really going to crack down now with these sanctions, and the Russians buzzing our ship in the Black Sea and international waters, and the Russians moving into eastern Ukraine. Jerry, KSFO, you're on the Savage Nation. Go right ahead.
All right. Yeah, it seems like people have a short memory. Before the election, before Obama got reelected, he went over and he was talking to Putin, and I think it was an open mic or something, going, "Hey,
right.
Elections, we can do business, right?"
Yeah, he said, give me a little more flexibility right now. I'll be able to be more flexible after the election, yeah.
So where does it all fit into this? That's my question. Why isn't anybody questioning him on that? Or, you know, why hasn't anybody brought this up, that he was, you know, buddy-buddy with him? So is this all predetermined?
Well, I think, Jerry, thanks for the call. I think people have brought that up. People have brought that up many, many times over what he was meaning about that before the last election. And... yeah, I don't know if it was predetermined. I think the problem is that those kind of statements told Vladimir Putin everything need to know about American president. Not serious, not strong, red line mean nothing. And then all of his actions have shown that. You know, that's the thing. You can't talk loudly and carry a limp stick. You have to do the opposite if you're going to do it. What you're doing instead is setting it up to make it more likely you're going to get in a war when you act the way that Obama's been acting. You want peace through strength is how we've always done it in America. Now we seem to be getting war through weakness. I hope not. But yeah, that's what people are wondering about. 855-400-SAVAGE, get you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE. I want to throw this one at you because you see it coming. Australia's been doing this for a while. Other places around the world have been tinkering with it. We've got a couple places in America that have been doing pilot programs on it. And here's what it is. Drinking your water from the sewage treatment plant. Not until it's been treated, but the way we normally do it is we treat it And then we put it back into the system, you know, down to the rivers, the creeks, the streams, the lakes, the oceans, up into the cloud, the water cycle, back down, eventually gets down through our reservoir, and then we start drinking it again. And we're getting so tight with water that now some of these cities are saying maybe we need to just treat it the best we can at the sewage treatment plant, and it's fine. We test it. It's safe for human consumption. It's potable water now. Why don't we just put it right back into the system then instead of kicking it out into the river and starting the system over again? Why don't we just do that? And now they're talking about doing it in Wichita Falls, Texas. So they're so far behind on rainfall that the city leaders are asking the regulators to let them do that. Treated sewage water is drinking water. What do you think? Would you drink that? Here's the question. Would you drink that? If you knew that your tap water now was coming from the treated sewage water, and it was tested, and everything's fine, potable water, no damage to you, all of the toxins that would be in your water are at the acceptable levels. What do you mean acceptable? There's no acceptable level for toxins. There's toxins in everything you do. There's poison in everything you do. Poison is in the dosage. If I put one little drop of arsenic in a reservoir that is huge, you're never going to notice it. If I put it in your glass on your table, you're going to notice it. It's in the dosage. So would you drink that when it comes down to it? I don't think I have a problem with it. I wouldn't have a problem with it at all, would you? Because I think it's coming. And I think we're just going to be one of these things we start to get used to. Let me get Craig in out of Iowa. Craig wanted to chime in on Social Security going after adult children for supposedly a debt their parents owed sometimes decades ago. Craig, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp. I'm in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Hi, Greg. Nice show. Yeah, I think the IRS is going to go after I think they're going to go after our pensions. I think the federal government is, I mean, they already tax the pensions, but I think they're going to go to take huge portions of them. And I think the Roth IRAs, which are, you know, the greatest deal right now in the world. We've paid our taxes already, and we risk the money, and we won't pay on the, when we take it out after the interest. I think they're going to go after that, too. I think it's just a matter of time. They have to.
Craig, I think you're not the only one who is thinking this way. There are people in the financial world who are concerned about this. And what Craig's talking about is, if you're not up on your Roth IRA, the Roth, you pay taxes on your income right now, and then you put it in the Roth, and then when you retire and take the money out, you do not have to pay taxes on it then. No income taxes on that then. Now, the opposite, of course, is your 401k, where you don't pay taxes on it now, and you put it away, and when you retire, you pay taxes, income taxes on it when you take it out. All right? Well, there is a lot of money in these untaxed Roth IRAs. And it's just sitting there. And what's to stop the federal government from changing that law? Well, the only thing that would stop them would be you. Would be that there are enough older people retiring, and enough people who have socked away money in that, that they say, hell no. And that they boot out of office anybody who even suggests doing that. But as Craig points out, the way we're spending, the way we're borrowing, the way we're just putting ourselves into unbelievable debt, there's going to come a day when they say, we've got to get more revenue. Or we've got to bite the bullet and say it's time to cut the spending. Which one will we do? I think that's a great question. Will they change it? Will they come after your Roth IRA? Will they come after your pension funds? Will they? There are other kinds of investments. There are certain insurance contracts you can do that when you take the money out when you're retired, you don't have to pay any income taxes on it. Ever. Are they going to change that law? Even though people have been funding these for years. I don't know. I think it's a great question. And this is the kind of stuff that now people are worried they can't trust their government with. With everything that's been going on, they're like, how can I trust them with anything? And once you get to that point that you can't trust at all what the rule of law is and trust on where you can invest, then your economy goes to hell. The most free nations that have the best economic development are the ones that have the best rule of law. That actually means something. Not arbitrary, not subjective, but objective that you can count on and plan on. Are we going away from that? I think it's a great question. 855-400-SAVAGE. Get you in. 855-400-SAVAGE. hey, prom season is here. Ask your son and daughter if they're ready for the KFC corsage. I'll tell you all about that in just a second and round this all out. My name's Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name's Greg Knapp. I'm filling in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE, get you on board, 855-400-SAVAGE. Google Glass is in the news big time. There's about five or six stories up on Drudge right now about it, and let me just take you through what's going on here. So Google is starting tomorrow allowing you to buy Google Glass for short term, and you've seen this. It's the really dorky-looking glasses you can put on that allows you to take photos and videos and audio recordings of people without them even knowing you're doing it. It allows you to surf the web in front of your eye, do all kinds of crazy stuff, and it looks really cool. I mean, I'd love to try it out, even though you look like a dork with it on. Well, now they're moving to a whole nother level of this, and the Daily Mail's reporting that they're basically putting Google Glass into a contact lens with built-in camera. Whoa. Do you remember Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol? The Tom Cruise character's buddy, when they were trying to do the sting operation on the bad guys, he had a contact lens in that could take photos and could actually then send it to the printer to be printed. That was crazy. Well, that stuff is here. It has a built-in camera. They're saying that they could use it to help the blind see and give them guidance. Could shrink Google Glass down to your contact lenses. Medical sensors built in. It's crazy stuff. Well, you go from there to Google is now seen to be acquiring Titan Aerospace, according to the Wall Street Journal. Well, Titan Aerospace makes drones. Uh-oh. The solar-powered drones. No word on what Google paid. What exactly is Google going to do with it? Google paid to keep it away from Facebook, is the report. And they're going to work on a lot of stuff for Google. Titan is going to be collecting photos for Google Maps and Google Earth. Also, Google's Project Loon, which sends balloons in the atmosphere and beams the internet to parts of the world that are not yet connected. What if they start doing that in your town? In your town. And Makani, another company Google bought, that gets wind power high in the sky and delivers the energy back to Earth through a long cable. There's a lot of craziness going on here. We'll see how all that works out. And then, finally, in San Francisco Friday night, a guy saying he was wearing Google Glass, he writes for Business Insider, said he was walking on the sidewalk with a colleague. A woman came up to him and yelled, "Glass!" You know, like Google Glass. Grabbed his Google Glass off his face, ran away, and then destroyed it. $1,500 device. And it does get you to, more and more people are saying, all right, am I going to put up with somebody sitting next to me with this Google Glass on? What do you mean put up with them? Well, because people are afraid that they're being spied upon. And there's also this other part of it that's coming forward where face recognition software with Google Glass, where you can look at somebody and it will search all of the social media sites on the web to see if they can match up the facial recognition. Then you'll be able to see who it is and then get all the information they have that's public on the internet about them before you even say hello. Whoa. It's a brave new world. Hey, thanks for letting me be with you today. Greg Knapp in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.